Praise the Lord.
All right, real fast. I want you, if you have a Bible, I want you to just hold it up and let me see it. Let me see it. If y'all was smart, just hold up your phone. Yeah, good job. That's what all these gray fair folk are doing. That's crazy. You gotta make it bigger like I do. I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that the Bible says the Word is truth. And it in truth makes us free. So, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what we're celebrating this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. And let's read verse 18. Say amen if you're at Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus took place under these circumstances. When his mother, Mary, had been promised in marriage, listen to this, to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. I'm reading out the Amplified, by the way. And her promised husband, Joseph, being just and upright man, and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame her, disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss or divorce her quietly and secretly. I mean, think about it. Verse 20. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from and out of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means this, Savior. For he will save, this is an angel saying this, see? For he will save his people from their sins, that is, prevent them from failing, missing the true end, the scope of life, which is God. 22. And this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant, give birth to a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused, verse 24, from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife, but he had no union with her as husband until, this is amazing, until she had borne her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I know it's easy for us to just talk about the birth of Jesus, but I want to come at it just a little different this morning and just for a little bit talk about the dad, Joseph. I mean, think about it, man. Mary gets pregnant. His wife, you know, before they really, really got together the way a husband and wife would. But think about it. Don't you think that the devil began to beat up Joseph in his mind? I mean, he had to have a lot of strength and faith and belief to not think that, wait, she's pregnant and I've never actually been with her. I mean, I can just imagine the enemy attacking his mind in all areas. Let's divorce her. Well, he obviously did because he contemplated divorce. But did you notice the Bible says that he was such a gentleman that he didn't want to shame her publicly? You know, he was unwilling to do that, so he was just going to divorce her quietly. Wow. The angel of the Lord obviously appeared, said, "Don't be in fear. You just need to trust God." So it took Joseph not to be in fear, because if Joseph would have gotten in fear and made the wrong decision, it could have possibly stopped God's plan for a time. I mean, he had to do it another way. I've told people a lot, even at this church, that if I don't do what I'm called to do here, then God will find someone else to do his plan. But Joseph, man, he was a man of integrity. He just decided that I don't want to make the wrong move. He was the head of his house. So by faith, Joseph had to believe that it was actually the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that caused Mary to conceive this child named Jesus. You remember he had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem while Mary was just about to deliver through major terrain. It was a 90-mile trip, y'all, over a rough country, again, while she was majorly big. I can imagine that it was a struggle. I can imagine that, again, his mind was like, do I really want to do this? You know. But, again, by faith, Joseph went to Egypt in the middle of the night. He didn't know anyone, the Bible says, but God said for him to do it. By faith, by faith, by faith. When Joseph had every opportunity to run, again, the enemy attacking his mind, and I mean, I know we're going to get to us, because the very same thing happens to you and I in different ways. The enemy tries to mess with our confidence. He's destroying marriages like you've never seen. Most of our church understands that I've said in the past 2 to 3 months, I'm dealing with multiple marriages that are in major trouble. Major trouble. I mean, nasty, nasty things that are happening, you know, in marriages. And you always have to wonder why. Why is the enemy attacking marriages today like we've never seen? Well, a marriage has major, major agreement. I mean, when two people come together, you're not supposed to be like this. Because things can get in the middle of that. No, you're supposed to be like this. And when a marriage is like this, stand up just for a second. Just as hard, give her your hat because that's your wife. As hard as you can, just try to pull this apart, right? No, you're going to have some help. Come up here and help. Come on, yeah, come on. Hurry it up. Come on. I mean, just you get on one side. Now, in the name of Jesus, don't hurt me. I mean, just if you can, just try to, you know, it's going to take several people, right? Because, thank you, man. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of hurt my fingers. I mean, it's going to take the enemy to drive a wedge in that right there. I mean, and the enemy's tried to do it in our marriage lots, but me being an incredible husband, I'm sorry, I love you. I do. We have tried to not allow anything. What about Daryl and Jane? Been married 67 years. I mean, my Lord, that's a long time. I mean, she's had to deal with him and his orneriness for a long time, y'all. But listen to me. There's something about the enemy, even in Joseph's mind, that was trying to stop prophetically what God had set forth. A baby Jesus being born pure. There wasn't a lick of sin in it. But in Joseph's mind, I can imagine, how did this happen, you see? But again, Joseph, by faith, was doing things. He just was trusting God. That's what faith is, Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In cowboy terms, that just is you got to believe in something you can't see sometimes. Well, all the time. We cannot see God the Father. Why? Because He's in heaven. We can't even see His Son Jesus. Now, they did for 33 and a half years. It's proven in history. He was born. They tried to kill Him, which was the reason that by faith He went to Egypt in the middle of the night. Didn't know anyone. He just trusted God because God said to do it. Why? Because there was safety for Jesus. The enemy wanted to kill Him, y'all. They wanted to stop what God wanted to do for all of us as believers. The government's trying to do it right now. She didn't tell me, Heidi, that checks the messages. But one message that I played said, hey, it was some girl. Hey, I just wanted to say that we don't really believe in Jesus. And I immediately erased it. I didn't want to hear that trash. I'd have never dreamed that would have happened in today's world. But it is. They're trying to stop the move of God. But we're not going to let them. You know why? Because cowboy people, Western people, country folk, city folk that want to be cowboys, we're going to stand up with our shoulders back. And we're going to continue to rein in what we're celebrating this morning. We're going to continue to proclaim our God. And we're not going to be ashamed. You see, Joseph was not ashamed. Even though they were trying to kill and stop what God wanted to do. They were trying to stop this baby boy. Several years it took him to do his ministry. And then he did it for about 3.5 years. Healed the sick. Raise the dead. Because sometimes I was talking to our drummer and he said, man, miraculously, God has healed me a couple of times. He said, man, I had a bone spur in my foot and where I was working, the guy said, hey, people have smoke breaks. Let's have a Jesus break. So they started talking about Jesus and the guy said, does anybody need healing? And he said, yeah, I actually do. And the guy anointed him and with oil. That's what the Bible says. It's not wrong to do that. You don't have to do that. But he anointed him with oil. And he said he felt the presence of the Lord come in his body. And that bone spur, even though it's still there, has not hurt since. I don't know how long ago that was. But praise God for the healing power of God. He still does it today if you would believe it. All things are possible to him that believes. People that don't believe in healing, it never happens in their life. I never forget raised in churches, and they would put you your name on this list, prayer list, and then start telling you, well, God doesn't heal all. He doesn't heal everybody. That's what they'd say. Only if it be His will, right? Well, I got to thinking about that one day. If God doesn't heal everybody and you don't actually believe in healing or that healing went away with the old covenant, then why in the world would you put anybody on a prayer list? Doesn't make sense, right? No, the enemy, like Joseph, possibly just crept into their minds, and they're trying to figure out, well, why didn't great-grandmama get healed? Well, she did, especially if she's in heaven. But healing can take place here, praise God. Joseph, oh man, did everything by faith. Remember, God brought gold and frankincense and myrrh, remember? You know what that actually did? It financed that trip. Because he didn't know anybody, didn't know where to stay, but God still helped him and blessed him, you see. Why? Because he took one step after another. Here's Mary, got pregnant without his help, by the Spirit of God, but yet one step at a time, one step at a time. Wow. And now we can celebrate the birth of Jesus. And again, as we said earlier, a few months, the resurrection of Jesus. What can we learn just real fast from even the life of Joseph? I mean, I know we could have talked about Mary. We could have talked just about the birth and all the things that happened. We can talk just about Jesus. And I'm not saying to follow Joseph. No, follow Jesus. But that's what Joseph did. He followed and trusted his Lord. He didn't give up. He didn't back away. Bad things might have happened, trying to kill the Lord Jesus, but that man, that father, just kept stepping one step at a time. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Think about your life. There's opportunity constantly for us to give up in different areas. Try being a rodeo cowboy. I heard most of those world champions that you might have seen on the Cowboy Channel, or maybe you've read about it, or if you follow rodeo in any way, you have heard and read about all the world champions that won. I was reading about the breakaway roper, how it was turmoil the whole year, but yet she won the world championship. The team ropers, I was reading about them, and it was just like, wow, the things that they had to come up against, even at the national finals, but yet they won the world. The barrel racing, if you watch the barrel racing, wow. The one we thought was going to win the average did not win the average because they hit a barrel in the 10th go-around. Messed everything up, they thought, but yet they still were blessed. A calf roper, wow, a calf roper. Comes in pretty far, you know, I mean, just wasn't at the top, like the top two or three cowboys. Not only did he break an arena record for the fastest time, what was it, 6.4? But he also broke the average total amount that has never been broken in a long time. I mean, all of them would say things like, yeah, but man, if you just knew the struggle that it took to get to this spot, the all-around champion of the world had to miss 9 rounds of the national finals because he got hurt, but still won the all-around champion, got moved in the bull riding and got moved in the saddle bronc riding, but at least he worked his tail off and he won the all-around championship still, not competing in all that. Bareback rider named Cade Saunier that gave his testimony at our service at the Resorts World on that first Sunday. I would say, hey, you're chipping away. He would win 6,000, then he'd win 4,000, and then he would win 6, and I mean, he just kept going. He ended up winning $104,000 and never won a go-around. You see, there's something in persistency, because the enemy could have destroyed his mind just like he did Joseph, or tried to do Joseph. But Joseph said, nuh-uh. One step at a time, I'm going to do what it takes. What are the lessons here, y'all? What's the lesson in our life to continue on the road of blessing, on the will of God for our lives? Well, here's some things that Joseph did. The first thing he did is he lived by faith. He didn't waver. He lived by faith. Remember, faith being now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but evidence of things not seen. We know Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but we cannot see him. So by faith, you're going to have to believe and trust that he's your Lord, and that he is seated at the right hand, that he did die for you, that your sins are covered by his blood. You're going to have to, by faith, believe it. Here's the second thing. He was a man of character. What about you? Look at me, y'all. Look at me. What about you? What's wrong with being men and women of character? Listen to me. God knows your every thought, even what you're thinking right now. So look at your neighbor and say, hey, better be thinking the right thing. Here's the third thing. Joseph stayed out of fear. Listen, the Bible says that God, in the epistles, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love. I always look at Steve because I figured he'd whisper the scripture to me because he knows it by memory. And so I looked at him. The Bible says that it doesn't give us a spirit of fear, and I figured he would just mouth, that's Philippians 4, or whatever it is. But he didn't give us a spirit of fear. You know what he gave us? Spirit of power. Say that, power. Love, say it, and a sound mind. I don't know about y'all, but we need some soundness of mind. How about our government? They need some. Well, I better not go there. Anyway, you know what Joseph was? He was determined. Come on, what about you? Get determined. If God put a dream in your heart, why don't you get determined to do it his way? Because Joseph was determined. He could have given up. Do you realize that Jesus, we'll talk about this maybe on the resurrection service, but we already talk about it anyway. Do you realize that when Jesus was crucified, he could have said, Father, that guy right there, that old Seth Ross, he ain't worth it. To die for him? Look at that Corey Roth. I ain't dying for Corey. I mean, we can put everybody's name in. Because Jesus was 100% man, because he had to experience everything that we experience today. But yet he was still 100% God. Being 100% man and experiencing everything, every temptation, remember? We can go study by study, you know, where the devil told him to turn the rock into bread or whatever. I mean, tempted him constantly, but yet, being 100% man, he overcame all of it, but he could have said, nope, not doing this, sir. It's too much pain. Especially when he got beat the first time with that whip with 9 tails. They call it the cat of nine tails. And he was beat with it 39 times. No one ever could take 40 or they'd die. Listen to me. Our Jesus was determined because he didn't say, nope. Yeah, I mean, there was one time that he did say, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember? But then what did he say? It's not my will be done. It's not my will be done, but thy will be done. I freely give my life for the love of my Father and the love of these people. And then he died, right? He was determined just like Joseph was determined. Here's the fifth thing. Joseph never, never, never get a hold of this, y'all. He never questioned God. Morris came in and was just visiting about his sister going to heaven. I did the service a week or so ago. His daughter. But there were some there that just kind of wanted to get mad at God. And I know there's that temptation for all of us. When my dad left, there was a temptation, huh, y'all, to get mad. I remember Steve saying that, I'm ticked off. I don't ever think he ever said at God, though. If he did, there's that temptation. But one thing we oughtn't to do is question God, because he knows the end from the beginning. Joseph never questioned God. Why? He just did it. He just did it. Here's something else. I've got seven of these, but here's the sixth one. It says he trusted God's plan. What about you? What's God's plan for you? Look at me. Every one of you, God has a plan for your life. Now, you might fight it. And I'm not saying you've got to be a preacher, swim to Africa to eat beetles just to tell someone about Jesus. No. There's still a plan. And you know what the plan is? In your area of influence, wherever that might be, it might be on a job, it might be because you're a dad or a mom, it could be anywhere. You have influence somewhere, even if it's with one person. And I'm telling you, if you've got influence over just one person, the plan God has for you is lift up the name that's above every name, Jesus. That's God's plan for all of us. I know we get all messed up. Well, I want to be a world champion. I want to be this. I want to be that. Lord, don't come yet. I haven't gotten married. I've heard everything. But God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan to prosper you, the Word says. But listen, His plan is that we have fellowship with Him. And if we have fellowship with Him and we're submitted to Him, then He gives us all the desires of our heart. He wants you to be a winner. He wants you to be a believer. He wants you to be the head. He just wants to be the center of it. And you've got to start learning to call on Him. Here's the last thing. Is that, and I said it just a little above, he took one step after another. He could have backed up. He could have backed up to the days of Babylon or the days before you gave your life to Jesus. But he decided to keep taking one step. Man, this is hard, Lord. Man, there's controversy, there's pain. But he just kept taking the step. He just kept taking the step. He wanted to give up, I'm sure. But he never did because he was faithful. But because of the faithfulness here, this is what Joseph caused. Number one, it saved Jesus. Because of his faithfulness, it saved Jesus from death. Number two, it kept his marriage strong. His faithfulness, having to say from an angel, don't fear, Joseph. She didn't sleep with someone else. It was the Spirit of God that did it. Trust me. Because he didn't have to trust. But yet, because of what he did, it made his marriage strong and intact. What about your marriage? You're going to be married one day. What about your marriage? I'm telling you, if you do it right, and I know there's probably divorce in here. Thank God for forgiveness and grace and mercy, y'all. It's time to move on from that and move on to God's plan for your life. Amen? But listen to me. You want your marriage strong and intact, keep Jesus in the center. Trust Him no matter what. Maybe finances will get a little tough. you trust Him. Maybe you will go through a trial and tribulation in the marriage. I don't care. You trust God no matter what. You keep communication over. And you do just like my wife. Just keep cooking chicken fried steak. Just kidding, Mama. Man, I love you. I do. Just, what a blessing in my life. As it's asked my two kids, that woman right there, not only is she beautiful, but man, she is a good, good woman. It wasn't long ago that someone way in another state was trying to tell her how bad she was. Of course, you know, a husband, when you got a strong and intact marriage, then when someone's attacking your wife, then you know what I mean? I mean, did y'all see that on this side? I mean, don't mess. Kind of like we got four chickens. They don't have babies, but I've seen them with babies. You don't want to mess with a chicken, they'll peck your eyes out. That's the way a mama will do. You mess with those kiddos. Well, don't mess with my mama. Well, my wife, and my mama. Okay, listen, here's the last thing. Here's something that it caused, that what Joseph did, this is what it caused. The first one, remember, it saved Jesus from death. The second one, it kept his marriage strong and intact because he just had faith. He trusted. He stayed hooked. Here's the third thing. We've got to trust God's plan for our life. We've got to remind ourselves of what God said about us. You're the head, not the tail. I'm closing. You're above and not beneath. You're a winner and not a loser. You're a believer and not a doubter. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. I could tell. You're more than a conqueror. Why? Because God loves you. You are someone in Christ Jesus. You're a winner. Come on. Hey, you guys are winners. You know why? Because God loves you. All we got to do is stay in faith. Here's the last thing. There may be some change because Joseph did this. Change anything in your life that is not in line with God's will. Let me say it again. There might be times, I've done it many times, there might be times that I've got to change something in my life that is not in line with God's will. That's between you and God. But you know what? What does a professional in any sport want from someone that he teaches? Is for them to be teachable. There's times when we just need to say, you know what? I want to remove anything that might stop the will of God for my life. And if you don't know what the will of God is, you need to start spending a little bit more time with the Lord. Get the Bible off of the coffee table. Nowadays, you're going to have to get this vacuum to get the dust off. And then open it up. Now listen to me, if you've never done this before, do not start in Genesis. You'll like the first chapter or two, and then it gets a little hard. Definitely don't go to Numbers. Not yet. Don't go to the begats. The begats are, they begat, and you start going down the lines of genealogy or whatever. No. Go to Matthew and start there. You know why? Because we are a New Testament church because of Jesus. I pointed, and I just want y'all to know that this is really not Jesus, okay? I mean, this is just a baby, and the baby is just the baby. And but honestly, this is who we celebrate, Jesus. He's got a little one. Where I don't know where the little one is back there, yeah. But it's not his. He's a granddad. So I don't know about y'all, but I want to live the life of Jesus because of Joseph followed his Savior and he did the right things. So as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, I want you to constantly be reminded that God is for you and not against you. He loves you no matter what, but there's also times when we examine our salvation. And I want you to do that right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. The first question this morning is, are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you ever made him Lord? I'm talking about if you died and left this earth, and I'm not speaking death on you. I speak life on you. But I want you to think about it. There's going to be a time when every single one of us dies of this flesh. But here's the promise. You're going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever. And according to the Word of God, there's only one of two places that you'll live forever and ever and ever. Either heaven or hell. Now, obviously, you're here celebrating the birth of Jesus. I want you to go to heaven, but I can't make you. There's no preacher, no denomination, no church that can make you do anything. You have a will. You have to choose this morning the place called heaven, and here's how you do it. You have to receive the one, the Son of God, the one that we're celebrating, named Jesus. You have to invite him into your life. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth, that means out loud, that Jesus is Lord, and then believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. People ask me all the time, saved from what, preacher? Well, hell, that's a good start. But you're saved from a lot of things. If you have a Savior and you live on this earth, the Bible says that you can cast every care upon him. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. You can talk to him as a friend, as a Lord, as a Savior. But the question is he your Lord? When you stand before God, do you know where you're going to go when you die and leave this earth? If you don't, you need to ask Jesus to come into your life, please. I beg you. I beg you. So what we're going to do is, if there's anybody either watching us or in this audience that has never given their heart to Jesus, you don't know when you die and leave this earth if you'd go to heaven or hell, you've got to make heaven your destinated home when you leave this earth. And the only way doing that is by receiving Jesus. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray this prayer, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life and save us. When you pray this prayer, believe everything that you pray. And I'm telling you, when you die and leave this earth with Jesus as the Lord of your life, you will bust heaven wide open. John 14 says Jesus is gone to prepare a place for you, a mansion in heaven. I'm telling you, I want you to go to the place called heaven, but it's up to you. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's not, I ask you to pray this prayer with me out loud. out loud. But I'm not going to ask you to pray it by yourself. All the believers in here that has given your heart to Jesus, you have confidence in that. You know where you're going when you leave this earth because Jesus is your Lord. I want you to pray this prayer so that you can possibly pray it with someone beside you, behind you, or in front of you. And we'll just pray it with someone that has never given their heart to Jesus. But if that's you and you've never made Jesus your Lord, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life. I'll pray it. You just repeat after me, but mean the prayer. You ready? And again, believers, would you pray this prayer? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. I believe you, Jesus, have been raised from the dead. And I am saved. I am coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But while I live here, I will serve you. I need help, but I'm willing to learn. In Jesus' name I pray. Before we say amen, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want you to be bold enough to not be ashamed of what you just did. Don't be ashamed to let people know that Jesus is your Lord. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Let's not be ashamed to let people know he's your Lord. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, this morning, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough, right where you're sitting, to raise your hand up. All you're doing by raising it up is saying, Father, I meant that prayer. Jesus is now my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, this is what Jesus says. He says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Please don't be ashamed. If you just gave your heart to Jesus, get that hand up when I say three, and then just put it right back down. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you. All of you. Glory be to God. Thank you. We want to get you a Bible. Yeah, right there. Yeah, appreciate it. He's good. Just no one looking around. Just if you got a Bible. If you didn't get a Bible, raise your hand up and let me see it and I'll get you a Bible. I want to make sure no one's looking around. Eight, nine people. All right, look at me. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Ask anybody that's been coming here before. We had, what, eight last week? I mean, I've never seen a church like this one. And I told them last week, I've always believed, man, so many people get saved. Why ain't this place packed out, knocking a wall? We can fit almost 1,000 people in here. Why ain't, well, I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I wonder sometimes, though, but a lot of people God sends to get saved because one guy told me he went to 20 churches in the Austin area and they don't give a salvation plan. But we always will hear so many people every Sunday get saved and born again. And then they might head out to where they live or another church or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. God, thank you that someone gets saved in this church every single Sunday. So that means we got new brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. All right. Well.